Welcome back to the Early Morning Late Show. Bill Arnold here with you. I have on our studio line Erin Smalley. She is, of course, one half of a very famous, popular couple, and her husband, Dr. Greg Smalley. She is a marriage strategic spokesperson of Marriage Ministries, focused on the family, and she is a regular contributor and guest on many of the shows on the Faith Radio Network, so I'm always thrilled to get a chance to talk to her. Erin, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you bet. Now, this morning, our conversation's going to be difficult, a little painful, because relationships can have problems, and one of the biggest problems out there would be infidelity.
Yes, and it's something that is probably more common than what we expect.
Yeah, so let's talk about how we can survive, how a couple can survive infidelity, and go ahead. Good luck with this one.
Yeah. You know, an article just came out in People magazine about Sharon and Ozzy Osbourne surviving infidelity. And, you know, regardless of what their lifestyle or anything about them, the fact is that Ozzy was unfaithful about 2 years ago, and they have rebuilt a stronger marriage than ever is what they're saying. They're saying they're more in love 2 years later than ever, and they just celebrated 35 years of marriage. And so it raises the point, wow, okay, so this is a Hollywood couple that dealt with infidelity, yet here they are celebrating 35 years of marriage, which is pretty respectable. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the truth is often couples who experience this don't recognize or they're not even aware that there is a possibility of surviving this horrific, earth-shattering event. And unfortunately, it does happen, and I'm not trying to minimize it in any way, shape, or form, but there is hope beyond infidelity.
Mm-hmm. Now, if we look at some of the statistics that have come out, the moral acceptability for divorce is up 14 percentage points since 2001. So roughly 73% of people will say, yeah, divorce is morally acceptable.
Yeah, and that is, in our culture, there is a trend toward, okay, this isn't working, so let's, you know, get a divorce. I think I have never once talked to a couple who has divorced that says, wow, I didn't realize how difficult this was going to be on me personally, on everyone involved, including our kids. And many of those couples report that they wish that they would have done a little bit more to try to make it work. Now, I know there's couples out there thinking, no way, I would never go back to that. But there are those couples that think, wow, I had no idea how challenging a divorce was going to be financially, emotionally, spiritually, all of it, in everything involved. And so just the recognition that, okay, there's couples out there, and, you know, Focus on the Family has a program. It's in a marriage intensive program called Hope Restored. And, you know, about 40 to 50% of these couples have dealt with infidelity, yet 85% of them are staying together after they go through this intensive program.
Mm-hmm. Erin, in the case of infidelity, though, let's get back to that, because that's one of the things I want to continue this conversation on, is what are some of the challenges? And how do we get to the point of reconciliation when this has entered the relationship?
Yeah, it's a breach of trust, and it's the breaking of a covenant that has been made. So obviously there is going to have to be trust rebuilt. The person who's had the affair obviously needs to repent and turn the other way and run from that and be willing to work on this relationship. It takes two. Both have to be willing to work on the relationship. And once that, they move into, yes, if we could rebuild this, then we are both willing. It's amazing what God can do with two pliable, broken hearts. Mm-hmm. Amazing the things that we have seen come out of even infidelity, that the couple is able to rebuild. It's not that they're going to go back to what they had before. It's that they're going to look to the future and rebuild something new. And research shows that oftentimes it is stronger than the basis they had before.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the, you know, you talk about reconciliation and forgiveness. Obviously, two broken people need to be in this place where they need to move forward. What are some of the rules moving forward, though? If you forgive and are saying, I forgive you, can I bring it up again a year from now?
You know, it's going to be a continuous conversation, and everybody is different in what they need moving forward. I would absolutely recommend that you get into counseling with someone who's experienced with dealing with infidelity in a marriage. Therefore, they can help you walk through this and process what's behind wanting to talk about it again. What's behind, you know, what is the need that's presenting itself? And if it's something that is needed by one spouse to be talked about, then absolutely, you know, go there with someone who is trained, who can help you process through that conversation.
Because the new rules are going to be pretty strenuous, and for a good reason, for probably months or years to come, because if someone isn't home around the time they said they'd be, all of a sudden the red flags go up and the worst thoughts enter your mind and you're going, where is this person? And so I'm just trying to figure out the best way to navigate through these rules. And is it a good idea through counseling to get specific rules put in place?
Yes, absolutely. And the bottom line is that, you know, if a couple was to go to Hope Restored, the bottom line is that they focus on two healthy individuals. And so as this couple moves forward, it's building two healthy adult individuals who are responsible for their actions, their choices. And as that happens, the one spouse possibly can rebuild this trust as the other adult individual in the marriage becomes trustworthy. Therefore, it's essential that both individuals are striving to grow and become healthy and trustworthy. And in order to build a great marriage, you've got to have two strong, healthy individuals.
Okay, Erin, I want to take a little break, but when I come back, I want to ask you to talk to the person who's been cheated on, and they all of a sudden had their rug completely pulled out from underneath them, and life is upside down. We'll take a short break. I'm talking to Erin Smalley. We'll be back in just a minute. Welcome back to the show. I've got Erin Smalley on the line. We're talking about a very difficult subject, which is marital infidelity and the way to rebuild. But Erin, I would like you to talk to the person who's been cheated on. They get this news, this revelation, this information that, boom, my spouse has cheated on me, and their world turns upside down.
Yeah, that is an understatement. And I, you know, speaking directly to them, I'm so sorry. I can't even begin to imagine how painful that revelation is, because it rocks every foundation of a solid marriage that you ever thought was there. However, there's hope. And granted, it does take someone who is willing to walk away, end the affair, end the infidelity, and really work on restoration. And the research shows it takes a while to rebuild this, years to rebuild a healthy relationship. But just directly to this person listening today, it is worth it. There is hope. You can get to the other side of this. I'm sure if it's fresh, it probably feels impossible. But we have a God who is the God of the universe, who can do anything with two pliable hearts. So hang in there. Mm-hmm. Hang in there. Surround yourself with amazing, strong, godly women or men, and, you know, friends, you know, the same-sex friendships to support you as you walk through this.
Mm-hmm. So is there a time frame that we should be aware of if you are trying to be a first responder to a friend who just was cheated on? Is there some good advice you can say, you know, don't do anything for 6 months, or don't do anything out of fierce anger, but try to start this process?
Yeah, and as a friend coming in, you need to understand, what does your friend want? What are they needing from you? Understand that clearly. We have some friends who the gal surrounded herself. Her husband had been unfaithful. The gal surrounded herself with dear, dear friends. And basically, she told them, this is a roller coaster for me, but I want my marriage. I want to fight for my marriage, and I need you to stand by me and support me in that. Even in those moments when I want to quit, I need you to be there for me to say, we are with you and we're going to fight with you. We're not going to let you quit. And so she had a key word that she would say if she was going to quit. And you know what? She never said it. And 15 years later, they're on the other side and they've built a new and amazing marriage on the other side of this.
Mm-hmm. Aaron, remind us why a marriage would be worth saving even after infidelity.
Well, you know, the stability of your marriage is something that is worth fighting for. Not only if you have kids, that is a key component in their stability, but it's also a covenant before God that has been made. And our society is a better place. Our culture, our cities, our communities, our churches are better when there are healthy marriages. Therefore, it's just key to build this healthy foundation, this healthy covenant relationship, and it is the legacy that you're leaving to your children and to their children and their children.
Mm-hmm. I did an event years and years and years ago with Dr. Larry Crabb, and he had an incredible amount of transparency on stage. He said he was laying in bed one night with his wife, and he said, I was 5 inches away from her physically and 5 miles apart from her emotionally. And she said, well, do you think we're going to make it? And he said, I don't know. And he said, I just got done writing a book called How to Have a Good Marriage.
Oh, gosh. You know, that is, I'm telling you, anytime you write on something, get ready to face the battle in with whatever you're writing, because the enemy is just crafty and tricky and will push you to the nth degree. Granted, I'm guessing that having that feeling and being vulnerable with that impacted more and gave his writing more value to those who were reading it.
Mm-hmm.
So way to go. I love the vulnerability.
I do too. So we've talked a little bit about the person who's been cheated on. Now, what about the unfaithful partner? How can they wisely start the reconciliation process?
Yeah, the first step is absolutely bringing it into the light. Hardest conversation you'll ever have. You may want to bring in a professional, a Christian counselor, a pastor, a trusted friend, so you can have that conversation. Bring it into the light. As it's in the darkness, it is the enemy has so much power over you, and it is worth coming forth and being vulnerable and authentic of where you're at, what you're experiencing, and then end it. 100% end it. It is worth it to fight for that the marriage relationship.
Mm-hmm. Aaron, are churches doing a good job of addressing this?
You know, I believe that churches are getting better and better at it because it's more and more common in our culture. It's essential that a pastor have training in this, or if they're not comfortable talking about it, refer to a Christian counselor. Many churches have great counseling staffs counselors right on their staff. And if not, you can always refer to somewhere like Hope Restored.
Mm-hmm.
This is their expertise, dealing with couples that are at the absolute end of their hope, their relationship, their desire to continue forward. This is something, these are experts, and they can walk with a couple through the difficulty of infidelity.
Mm-hmm. So if we are at a 73% acceptability rate for Americans who say divorce is morally acceptable, it gets to be an easier place to jump off and say, well, you know, everyone thinks this is okay. If you're not happy, you're not happy.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
Yeah. So can you sort of give us a word for couples that I know are listening that are struggling today?
Yeah. You know, we are really at Focus on the Family trying to educate couples before they get married. What is the true purpose of marriage? And really the true purpose, I love how Gary Thomas says it the best, that it's not about happiness, it's about holiness. And it's not that we, you know, are saying, hey, get married and be miserable and you know what, you're going to grow to look like Christ. The truth is that yes, you are going to grow to look like Christ because marriage is difficult. It says in scripture, those that are married expect difficulties, but it's an opportunity to grow. But also God has given you this person to journey through these difficult seasons together. And so there's going to be rapids down the river. There's going to be smooth sailing. And, you know, we have that person. God has given us the gift of our spouse to travel through those difficulties together. So really understand the true purpose of marriage. We're not advocating for a miserable marriage. We're saying have a great time. There's going to be difficult seasons. There's awesome, amazing seasons. But you're traveling. You have this travel buddy that you get to journey with. Mm-hmm. And if you're in a difficult season, get help.
Yeah.
You know, go in and talk to somebody about that. Surround yourself with community. You're not alone. There's 50% of marriages are struggling right now.
Yeah, and Erin, the best place to go for resources, especially if I'm just hearing this going, ooh, what can I look for right today, now?
Yes, if you want to go to focusonthefamily.com, you'll find information about Hope Restored, the Marriage Intensive Program, or we even have a 1-800 number. It's 1-800-A-FAMILY, F-A-M-I-L-Y, and you can call in and get one free session with a Christian licensed counselor. And they will help you really navigate, where do I begin? You know, come up with a plan of where do I start? This seems so overwhelming. My world has been rocked, or I'm really stuck and I can't see beyond. I don't have hope for beyond today.
Mm-hmm.
Call them and they will help you navigate through this difficult season.
Yeah. Tough subject, Erin, but you've handled it so deftly. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, gosh. Anytime. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Have a great day. Take a short break and be right back.